Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivare Dari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivare Dari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Manajari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivare Dari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivare Dari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Vishnupada Paramahamsa Paribhraja Kacharya Shtotar Tashi Srimad Babaya Charanaravindam Bhakti Varanda Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jaya Vishnupada Paramahamsa Paribhraja Kacharya Shtotar Tashi Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Kori Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Iskan Vibhuti Sangstavakacharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Guru Munityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shishi Radha Krishna Gogopinath Shama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Shri Maya Punabari Dham Ki Jai. Kangamaya Jamunamaya Ki Jai. Shri Mari Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Shri Mari Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Samveda Bhakta Vinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. So, we're discussing about the advent of Lord Krishna, right? Advent of Lord Krishna. There's one particular verse from the chapter, second chapter of the 10th canto. That chapter is entitled Prayers by the Demigods. As we all know, at one point, Mother Bhumi, the earth, took the form of a cow and went to Lord Brahma to complain that now the earth was overburdened with the demoniac so-called kings. And it was very difficult to tolerate because there was no performance of sacrifice properly. So, Mother felt very much distressed and she had tears within her eyes. So Lord Brahma, along with Bhumi in the form of a cow, Lord Shiva, all the demigods, they went to the shore of the ocean of milk and they offered prayers to Lord Vishnu. So, the other demigods couldn't hear, but Lord Brahma got the instruction from the Supreme Lord and he conveyed that to the demigods. He said that the Supreme Lord is very much aware of the predicament and he'll be coming. He'll be adventing himself. So all the demigods should take birth in the family of the Yadu dynasty and get ready and assist the Lord in his pastimes. So that was settled up. Then this part of the Bhagavatam describes how it was the marriage day of Vasudev. He was marrying the daughter of King Devaki. And Kamsa, her brother, was driving the chariot, taking the newly married couple to their home. Right? And there was a big dowry that was given by Maharaj Devak to Vasudev. 400 chariots, 15,000 horses, all decorated with silk and golden ornaments, 200 maidservants were going along, right? And so many elephants, also nicely decorated with gold. So the system, Prabhupada says, of giving a dowry along with Kanyadan, with the daughter, because the daughter doesn't inherit in the Vedic system the property of the father, but due to the affection the father has for his daughter, he sends with her so much valuable things. Just then from the sky came the voice, "You fool! You are carrying with you the person that will, you know, have your death. Her child will be your death." This voice came from the sky. Nowadays we have radio, Akashvani, radio. But in those days it was a little different. So immediately, Kamsa drew his sword to kill his sister. Right? No questions. If she's going to have a child that will be his death, before that happens, he was going to kill her. So Vasudev, newly married, he thought, how to save her? How to save his wife? And actually, it's the duty of everyone, Srila Prabhupada mentions, that in verses also Vasudev has thought to save this body, right? Every day we eat to live, because if you don't eat, what happens to the body? It dwindles and it dies. So we actually, by eating we can live. Right? We can maintain the body. We protect the body by eating. But some people live just to eat, which is another thing. The body is a vehicle that's given by the Supreme Lord, and therefore it's important to take us out of this material world. So everyone is meant to protect the body. So that was Vasudev's concern, and he began to speak to Kamsa to try to talk him out of his anger. Sometimes if someone becomes very angry, if you talk to them, you know, this is my experience, especially being in India and managing things in India, Somebody comes and they're very angry. And if you also get angry, then finished. But if you keep a cool head, Srila Prabhupada said the best policy for a devotee is always keep a cool head. And you try to explain to the person. Many times they calm down. So this is what Vasudeva was doing. He was trying to use logic, reason, philosophy with Kamsa. And many important things he explained about the his reputation would be soiled and many things. But still, Kamsa was not convinced. Vasudeva could see he wasn't convinced. You know your efforts to calm a person down, you can tell whether it's working or not by the expression on their face. The face is the index to the mind. It's the mirror to the mind. You can understand what a person's mind is simply by their face. Isn't it? Whether they're upset, whether they're happy, whether they have something on their mind. Right? So just by seeing Kamsa's face, Vasudeva can understand his determination to kill his sister was not, by his logic, was not going away. So then what did he do? He tried another tactic. He said, listen, anyway, she's not going to be the source of your death, her child. So as and when the children are born, I will hand them over to you. And you do what you want with them. Now Kamsa, knowing that Vasudeva was a very truthful and honest, saintly person, so he accepted that. He said, then he calmed down. He said, yes, okay. Right? He knew that Vasudeva, his word is as good as gold. Right? And Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to find somebody that will keep their word. Right? So you have to have a contract, go to the court, sign the contract, register the contract. Right? The money's kept in a escrow account because nobody trusts each other. But in those days, if somebody gave their word, that's it. It's done. They believed it. Especially somebody like Vasudeva. Kamsa believed and he accepted. So it was settled up. And Devaki was saved. And then, as the pastime goes on, when the first child came, Vasudeva, being true to his word, he went to Kamsa and offered the child. And Kamsa, being the demon that he was, but also having some soft corner, said, listen, you take this child home. I have nothing to fear from this child. It's the eighth child anyway. So go ahead. Oh, in this way, time was going on. Many children were coming. But then Narada Muni appeared on the scene. And he came to Kamsa. Narada was trying to speed things up. Because if everything was going on nicely, then the Lord's appearance might get delayed. Right? So he said, Kamsa, you fool. Your death is coming. You better do something. So Kamsa immediately began thinking, oh yeah. And then he became worried. And then he killed all the children of Devaki. Out of fear that one of them might be Vishnu that will try to kill him. So, time passed. And the time for Krishna to appear came. And first of all, Ananta, the form of Krishna, as Balaram entered into the womb of Devaki and then was transferred by Yogamaya into the womb of Rohini, who was staying under the protection of Nanda Maharaj that time in Gokul. Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva were very close. They were like half brothers. And so Vasudeva was taking care of Rohini, the wife of Vasudeva. And then Krishna explained to Yogamaya that you enter into the womb of Yashoda. And he was very happy with her, and he said, you'll be worshipped all over India in different names as Ambika, Vaishnavi, different names. People will worship you in different places. And then Krishna entered into the mind of Vasudeva. And Vasudeva became so brilliant that it was hard for people to look at him. He was so effulgent with brightness. And then Krishna was transferred from the heart of Vasudeva to the heart of Devaki. And he was there residing within Devaki. And she became effulgent. And everyone could understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had taken shelter within her. And the news traveled to the demigods. So Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the demigods, they came to the house of Vasudeva, and they came before Devaki. Nobody could see them. And they began to offer prayers, right, to the Supreme Lord that was there within Devaki. Now there's many prayers, but there's one particular prayer that I would like to talk about today. Is that all right? Now this particular verse, it's a prayer, you know, by Lord Brahma and the demigods. It's quoted by Srila Prabhupada time and time again throughout his preaching. And I'll chant it now. Yanye ravindakshivamuktamaninastvayastabhavaravashudabhudaya Aruya krichchena param padam tata patantyado nadrita yushmarangrayaha. Heard that one before? Many times, right? Srila Prabhupada, in his purports, in his lectures, conversation, he quotes this verse. So we'll chant together the word for word. Yanye. Anyone or all others. Avarindaksha. O lotus-eyed one. Vimuktamanina. Falsely considering themselves. Free from the bondage of material contamination. Twayi. Unto you. Astavavat, speculating in various ways, but not knowing or desiring more information of your lotus feet. Avishuddha Buddhaya, whose intelligence is still not purified, and who do not know the goal of life. Aruya, even though achieving Krichchena by undergoing severe austerities, penances and hard labor, Param Padam, the highest position according to their imagination and speculation. Tataha, from that position. Patanti, they fall. Adaha, down into material existence again. Anadrita, neglecting devotion to. Yushmat, your angrayaha, lotus feet. Translation. Someone may say that aside from devotees who always seek shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees, but who have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? In the answer to this question, Lord Brahma and the other demigods said, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Aside from devotees, there are many others, non-devotees, known as karmis, jnanis, or yogis, philanthropists, altruists, politicians, impersonalists, and voidists. There are many varieties of non-devotees who have their respective ways of liberation, but simply because they do not know the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, although they falsely think that they have been liberated and elevated to the highest position, they fall down. As clearly stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita, Ashradhana Purusha Dharmasya Parantapa Apraptyamam Navartante Mrityu Sangsar Vartmani. Those who are not faithful on the path of devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror foes, but return to birth and death in this material world. It doesn't matter whether one is a karmi, a jnani, yogi, philanthropist, politician, or whatever. If one has no love for the lotus feet of the Lord, one falls down. That is the verdict given by Lord Brahma in this verse. So, usually Srila Prabhupada, when he refers to this verse, he's talking about the Mayavadis, right? Because the Mayavadis falsely think that they're liberated, right? They perform severe austerities. They perform penances, right? And they try to elevate themselves through mental speculation or jnana so that ultimately they become liberated. But we see that many so-called spiritualists, although they may elevate themselves, because they don't have information, here it said, the demigods are saying, of the lotus feet of the Lord, because they're not attracted by the Lord's lotus feet, therefore they fall down again. They come down. From whatever platform they attain, they come down. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that because they don't have active engagement with the service to the lotus feet of the Lord, therefore they get involved in mundane welfare activity. Like opening hospitals, Prabhupada says, there's some mission, right? Prabhupada calls it the Mirgi mission, or somebody calls it the chicken mission, because they eat chickens, right? They said, eat meat and keep your body fit. Don't put tulsi plants, put eggplants. Right? And their activity is social welfare activity, feeding people, opening hospitals. Why? Because although they talk about elevated things, they're not able to maintain that elevated state of consciousness because they don't have the lotus feet of the Lord. This is what this verse, this is how Prabhupada usually uses this verse. But in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is expanding that. He talks about karmis, jnanis, yogis, philanthropists, altruists, politicians, and then impersonalists and Vaidas. So how is that? Well, what are karmis? Karmis are persons who are following the scriptures with the idea of obtaining some economic development, karmis, or with the idea of obtaining an elevated position in the heavenly planets in their next life, karmis. And jnanis are a little better than the karmis because they realize that anywhere in the material world, whether it's the heavenly planets or this earthly planet, from the highest planets down to the lowest, all their places of birth and death. Right? So they understand that, and therefore they work for something else. They're working for some liberation. Freedom from karmic activities. Jnanis. But it's mentioned by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the comment to this verse that even for jnanis to be successful, they have to have some bhakti. They have to have some shraddha in the Lord. Right? Same way with yogis. Yogis' idea is that they want some perfection, some yoga siddhi. Right? They want some siddhi, some perfection. So Prabhupada says they all want something. Philanthropists, we see that throughout time, especially in these modern times, people accumulate great wealth through some industrial endeavor, just like the Vanderbilts. And nowadays, the Bill Gates, very wealthy person. And after having so much wealth, still they're not satisfied. If acquiring wealth was bringing or brought, brings real satisfaction, then he should be very satisfied. But he's not, because wealth doesn't bring satisfaction. So we see that now he has a foundation, the Bill Gates Foundation. Right? And he goes around different parts of the third world and he tries to solve the AIDS problem by giving medicine for AIDS and various programs. Right? So we can see that for many people, that's the goal of life, to become wealthy, to become rich. They always dream about becoming rich. But here we see that a person who attained that goal, you know, for some people they think that's liberation. If I'm just rich, I'll have it made. I won't have any problems in the world. But here we see Bill Gates, fabulous wealth, $32 billion. That's so much wealth. That's bigger than the gross national product of a smaller country like Mauritius. Right? But yet, he's not satisfied. He has to do something else to get satisfaction, like try to help people with AIDS. So therefore, whatever you've speculated about liberation or what, you know, what the highest goal is that you want to attain, right? You won't be satisfied there. This is the proof. Altruist. Altruist is another kind of philanthropist. Their idea is that they are more worried about the welfare of others the happiness of others than they are about their own happiness or their own welfare. That's an altruist. And politicians are supposed to be doing good for the people, right? But Srila Prabhupada says, even if you try to do good for your country, or even the whole world, still, the people that you're trying to help, they won't be satisfied. Because materially, no one becomes satisfied. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of John Kennedy was the servant of the people. In his inauguration address, when he first became president, there was a famous part of his speech. And he said that now it is time not to ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. That's his famous quotation. But yet, somehow or another, his constituents, somebody there wasn't happy with him, and they shot him and killed him. Same way with Mahatma Gandhi, although he worked for the liberation of India, still someone wasn't happy, and he's finished. So this is the nature of politicians. Although they try to do good for the people because it's not ultimately good. It's like a patchwork. It's some material arrangement. And material arrangements are always changing and they're bound to fail. Therefore, one minute they're very glorified and the next minute thrown out. Srila Prabhupada used to like to give the example of Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon was a very powerful president, and he had served one term for 4 years. And then he got elected for the next term by a landslide. More than any president ever got votes, he got votes for his second term. But just after he entered his second term, it came out that there was a scandal that in a hotel called Watergate, and it was known as the Watergate scandal, that his party, his election committee, had bugged the opposite party, the Democrat Party's, election campaign, election head office. Right? And they had people from his party had broken into the Democrats' election office and stole records. Right? Now, he didn't need to do that. He was going to win by a landslide anyway. So the point was whether Nixon knew about it or not. Right? Whether Nixon knew that his people bugged the Democratic National Campaign Office, and whether he knew that they broke in and stole records. And he said, I didn't know anything about it. But the problem was that Nixon was so paranoid, he was a very paranoid person, that he had every phone conversation in the White House recorded. In the whole White House, his whole organization, no phone call could be done without it being recorded and on record. And the opposition knew that, so they said, okay, give us the phone recordings from Europe. So he tried his best to keep the recordings from being exposed. But he couldn't do it. They were subpoenaed by the Supreme Court. And then he knew it was over. So before he was impeached and thrown out, he resigned. One of the most powerful presidents that was ever there, he had to resign and leave his post. So Prabhupada gave that example. There was Nixon, so powerful, but yet he was thrown out. So this is the nature of politicians. The sitting president of the United States, Barack Obama, he came with with a very big popularity, 75%. But now it's way down in the 20s or something, right? It's just within a few years. I don't even think 2 years are over. So one day you're popular, and the next day you're not. Right? We also know, so this is the point. This is what this verse is saying, that whatever you think, and whatever you're working for, if the lotus feet of the Lord is not your goal, attachment and love for the Supreme Lord is not your goal, it's going to be a failure. There are persons who advocate accepting any process and who say whatever process one accepts will lead to the same goal. But that is refuted in this verse, where such persons are referred to as vimuktamanina, signifying that they think they have attained the highest perfection. In fact, they have not. In the present day, big, big politicians all over the world think that by scheming, they can occupy the highest political post, that of president or prime minister. But we actually see that even in this life, such big prime ministers, presidents, and other politicians, because of being non-devotees, fall down. Patantiyada ada. To become president or prime minister is not easy. One must work very hard. Aruria Krishchena. To achieve the post. And even though one may reach his goal at any moment, one may be kicked down by material nature. In human society, there have been many instances in which great exalted politicians have fallen from government and become lost in historical oblivion. The cause of this is avishuddha buddhaya. Their intelligence is impure. The Shastra says, Natevidu svartakatim hivishnum. One achieves the perfection of life by becoming a devotee of Vishnu. But people do not know this. Therefore, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Klesho dikaritastesham avya shakta chetasam. Persons who do not ultimately accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take to devotional service, who instead are attached to impersonalism and voidism, must undergo great labor to achieve their goals. Shreya shritim bhaktim adushyate vibhu klishanti ye kevala bhodaya labdhaya. To achieve understanding, such persons work very hard and undergo severe austerities, but their hard labor and austerities themselves are their only achievement, for they do not actually achieve the real goal of life. Now this verse, Srila Prabhupada quotes from the 10th canto, 14th chapter, text number 4, is about the hard labor of the impersonalists. They perform austerities, they perform penances, but what is their benefit? Their benefit is only their hard labor. They don't get anything else. And the example that's given, if after they take the husk off of the paddy, right? The chaff is left, right? And they beat it, right? They beat, and then the rice separates from the husk, right? So then you separate the rice from the husk. So now after the rice is already out, what is the use to continue beat the husk? Any benefit? But this is the result of the impersonalist and their performance of hard austerities and meditation. They're beating the husk. No result is going to come from that. Only the result is the hard labor that they exerted. Dhruva Maharaj at first wanted to achieve the greatest material kingdom and greater material possessions than his father. But when he was actually favored by the Lord who appeared before him to give him the benediction he desired, Dhruva Maharaj refused it, saying, Swamin kritartosmi varam naye che. Now I am fully satisfied. I do not want any material benediction. That's from the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. This is the perfection of life. Yam ladva chaparam labham manyate nadikam tataha. Bhagavad Gita chapter 22. If one achieves the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, one is fully satisfied and does not need to ask for any material benediction. The only way to become satisfied. The only way to become satisfied is through the devotional service of the Lord. Nothing else will work. Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted a kingdom greater than his father's, his grandfather's. And he performed many austerities and penances. By the mercy of Narad, he was able to obtain the darshan of the Lord. And then when he obtained the darshan of the Supreme Lord, he didn't want anything. He didn't want that kingdom. He was completely satisfied with the Lord's lotus feet. He had attained perfection. And he remarked that I was looking for pieces of broken glass, but I obtained a diamond. Right? So Srila Prabhupada goes on. At night, no one can see a lotus, for lotuses blossom only during the daytime. Therefore, the word Arivindaksha is significant. One who is not captivated by the lotus eyes or transcendental form of the Supreme Lord is in darkness. Actually, like one who cannot see a lotus. One who has not come to the point of seeing the lotus eyes and transcendental form of Shyam Sundar is a failure. Premanjana charita bhakti filochanena santas sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Those who are attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in love always see the Lord's lotus eyes and lotus feet, whereas others cannot see the Lord's beauty and are therefore classified as anadritya yushmad angrayaha, or neglectful of the Lord's personal form. Those who neglect the Lord's form are surely failures on every path in life. But if one develops a little love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is liberated without difficulty. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mohato vayat. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead recommends in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 34, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru. Simply think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer some light, slight homage to me. Simply by this process, one is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead and thus attain the highest perfection. The Lord further affirms in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 54 through 55, Brahma-bhuta prasantatma na sochiti na kanchiti samasaveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param bhaktyamam abhijananti yavam yaschasma tatvataha tatatmam tatvatyatva vishtetar anantaram. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes joyful, fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So just as Srila Prabhupada was saying in this lecture, very nice lecture, Srila Prabhupada has given a, this is a Janmashtami lecture, 1973. And I was just thinking that as Srila Prabhupada was giving this lecture, I had come to New Vrindavan. Actually, I was not join the temple at that time. I was living outside nearby the temple, and I was coming on to the temple regularly. I was a congregational member, you could say. What had happened was, is my friend, he joined the temple, and he had an apartment nearby the temple. And he said, well, I've already paid for the rent, so if you want, you can move in there. I'm moving into the temple. So I did that. I moved into the apartment. He moved into the temple. And I was visiting the temple daily. And then the devotees one day said, we're going to New Vrindavan for Janmashtami. You want to come? And I didn't know what was New Vrindavan. Didn't know where it was. I didn't know what Janmashtami was either. But I said, okay, let's go. So we drove 700 miles to this place. We got there in the middle of the night. So I didn't really know where I was. In the morning, I could see that there were literally thousands of devotees that had come to New Vrindavan. And it was a very primitive place at that time. Just a couple of buildings. And a big barn was there. And on the hill, they had made a kind of pavilion, like a pandal. And the the idea was that Srila Prabhupada was coming to New Vrindavan for Janmashtami. He had come the year before, in 1972, and delivered the Bhagavad Dharma discourses. So everybody was in anticipation. Devotees had come from all over the United States to New Vrindavan. But actually, Srila Prabhupada stayed back in London and delivered this lecture. He installed the deities of Radha Gokulananda in the Bhaktivedanta Manor at that time, in 1973, Janmashtami. But anyway, the devotees were there, and it was a, you know, fantastic kirtans. The Vaikuntha players had come from New York. It was transcendental kirtans. Vishnu Jan Maharaj was there, and it was just a fantastic festival. Tremendous kirtans, dramas, plays. One thing after another was happening all day long on Janmashtami. And finally at night there was a huge kirtan and a feast was distributed. And it was not only devotees, but so many guests had come from all over to New Vrindavan. So after that I went back with the devotees to my hometown. But I never left the temple after that. I just stayed on and became a devotee, for better or for worse. But in this particular shloka, we see Srila Prabhupada said, look it, Krishna's not asking for a lot. Right? He's not asking for your whole estate. All he's saying is, patram pushpam phalam toyam. Yome bhakti priyachati. Right? And even here, Prabhupada's saying that, you know, slight surrender, slight homage. Right? If we can just do a little something for Krishna, offer fruit, flower, some tulsi leaves, we'll be so much benefited. The whole purpose of Krishna's advent is just to bring us to that point. To divert our attention to His lotus feet. Krishna is so attractive. Everyone would be attractive. But their attention is diverted to so many other things. The whole point of Krishna consciousness is to become attracted by Krishna. And if we're at the end of the day, if that's what has happened, that's perfection. We're successful. We will not fall down from that point. Ashradhana purusha dharma shasha paramtapa. Faith is required. Devotion is measured by how much faith one has. And there's three levels of faith. In the third stage, one doesn't have so much faith and doesn't have much understanding of Shastra. So they're easily diverted. And we see devotees come for whatever reason. They stay for some time and then they go away. Right? Based on faith. In the second level, a devotee has strong faith that whatever happens, I will serve Krishna. They may not be able to convince others so well about, through Shastra, about Krishna consciousness, but they have strong faith. The goal of life is to serve Krishna. And the first class devotee not only has strong faith, but is also able to, on behalf of Krishna, convince others about the words of Krishna. And that's the first class devotee. So devotion is based on our faith. Faith is developed by association with devotees. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has started this International Society for Krishna Consciousness to give everyone an opportunity to associate with devotees. No other reason. No other reason. It's a matter of association. It's a matter of Sangha. Right? It's not about big temples. It's not about any temples are a means to hear. Temples are a means to associate. We're not making big temples in and of themselves, but because, Srila Prabhupada explains, people will not come to hear if I'm sitting under a tree. Therefore, I made a big temple. So people will come to hear. But the goal is to hear. Hearing means association. We don't see a sadhu. No. Eyes have nothing to do. You hear. Sadhu means association, satsanga, by hearing about Krishna. So that we develop faith in Krishna and we become attracted to Krishna and make our lives successful. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions, comments? Yeah. The question is, in the beginning we do so much service, but after a period of time, we gradually lose our mood of service. So your question is, why? Why does it happen like that? Well, ideally, one wouldn't lose their mood of their service attitude. But if we do, there's a reason for it. And that is due to offenses. Offenses to devotees, offenses to the deities, especially offenses to the holy name. There's three kinds of offenses. Sevaparad, Namaparad, and Vaishnavaparad. So these three types of offenses, they dry up our taste for doing devotional service. And due to offenses, our attraction for material life becomes reawakened. So a devotee is always very careful about committing offenses to the holy name, to the deities, and devotees. But if we always maintain a If we chant the holy name of the Lord constantly, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram, then we'll become protected from offenses. We'll maintain our service attitude.
Hare Krishna, adding to his question, that suppose if we may lose the enthusiasm that we didn't have in the beginning, but if you continue, keep on continuing, we may get it back again.
Yes, if you continue, you may get it back. Certainly if you don't continue, you won't get it back again. Right? That makes sense. And if you do continue, yes, you can develop that enthusiasm to do devotional service if you stay in association with devotees. If you don't have association, you're lost. You're a ship without a rudder. But if you maintain association, then even, see, devotional service, it's not like it goes like straight up out of the material world. You know, if it was on a graph that you just go like that out, it doesn't work like that. And Rupa Goswami describes in the Nectar Devotion that it's like the waning and the waxing of the moon. Every month, right? There's the dark moon, Amavasya, there's the Purnima. So in between, there's different phases, right? Sometimes the moon is bright and full, and sometimes completely dark. So in our development of devotional service, it's like that. Sometimes we feel enthusiastic, and sometimes it's very difficult, very hard, right? But that comes and goes. But in the Nectar Devotion, it's described that if one, because we have our conditioning, we have our mind, we have this body that's conditioned by so many different things, right? Mental and physical natures, right? But if in spite of that, in spite of experiencing the reaction to our past sinful activities, we go on serving Krishna by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, then it becomes our inherited right to enter into the spiritual world. So determination, patience, enthusiasm. Utsaha nischaya daryat tat tat karma pavartanat. If we only have patience, but we don't have determination or enthusiasm, that's the mode of ignorance. But if we only have enthusiasm and we're not patient, that's the mode of passion. It's a combination. We have to be enthusiastic. We also have to be patient to reach the goal. It's the long haul. We're not interested in short-term gains. We want the long-term. Shreya. Shreya uttamam. Shreya. Right?
Also, there should be the sense of duty.
What's that?
Sense of duty.